This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. How much does crime really cost? Millions of dollars per day and billions per year. The high cost has jail and prison administrators seeking ways to ease this burden on taxpayers. One way to do that? Charge the inmates fees. In Michigan, inmates are required to pay for necessities. Backers say it teaches the prisoners a lesson and keeps them from making frivolous, wasteful requests. But what happens when a prisoner's small paycheck doesn't cover those expenses? A prisoner can be paroled with hundreds and hundreds of dollars of fines hanging over their head. Natalie Holbrook is with us now. She's with the American Friends Service Committee's Michigan Criminal Justice Program. Good to have you with us, Natalie.
Thank you very much.
Doing a little bit of digging, we discovered the first correctional fee law in this country actually happened in 1846 in Michigan. So it began, and it's not a new trend, is it?
No, it's not a new trend. People have been being charged for things in prisons and jails for years and years.
So where do we stand today? How does this work in Michigan's prisons in 2015?
So in Michigan's prisons, people are responsible for paying for things like copays for medical care, over-the-counter drugs, anything bought from commissary, clothes above and beyond what the policy allows them to have. In the past, they had more clothing and more undergarments. Those, when we've been trying to make cuts to the budget, our $2.2 billion corrections budget, they sometimes are falling on the backs of prisoners, these cuts. So they get less clothing now if they want above and beyond the, I think it's five pairs of underwear that they get per year. They have to pay for that out of pocket. Toilet paper, if they get one roll a week at a certain prison, then they're going to pay for that. If women use more than, I think it's 24 pads per month, they have to pay for their extra menstrual pads. So they have to pay for things like that. Then there's also a reimbursement act that affects prisoners who have assets above $50,000 when they are incarcerated. So if their prisoner account is at over $1,500 or gets $1,500, it's going to be a red flag, and then the attorney general will go after any assets over $50,000. They also have restitution fines that they might have to pay. Those are court fees and restitution to crime victims. And so those will be taken from their accounts. So it will be anything over $50. The Department of Corrections is going to take 50% of anything over $50 that's in their account, which means that the family members are at times putting money into accounts and would be paying for it.
And the accounts, they work behind prison walls. What do they make for that?
About 17 cents a day. People do not make more than $20 a month for the most part in prison. So imagine a $5 copay for medical is 25% of your earned wages in the month. I don't think we think about this in the community very much, that prisoners are not paid very much money. And they don't have much when they come to prison often. I'm saying this generally. And so when they get into prison, they're not making much money. They don't go home with much money. There's no nest egg. And if we are going to make meaningful cuts to corrections and to prison spending, we have to get people out of the system and close prisons. It should not fall on the backs of prisoners. It's not a good policy move. It's not the way to go about cutting spending.
I'm talking with Natalie Holbrook. She's with the American Friends Service Committee's Michigan Criminal Justice Program. As we talk about the fact that inmates are being charged fees, we're talking about the state prison level, but we should also, which is what your area is, mm-hmm. but we should also point out that there are fees being charged at county jails all over, not just Michigan, but all over the country, aren't there?
Yes. County jails have pay-to-stay programs where prisoners are basically charged for their meals, for the housing fee. They're charged for medical care. So that happens at the county jail level. Every county is different. In Michigan, every county is run differently. They're charged for phone calls. That happens in the state prison system also. Mm-hmm. So jails and prisons both have different ways of going about charging inmates. But the jail system has full-on pay-to-stay at some places. So I think Macomb County Jail is $56 a day per average inmate. In the state system, it's about $37,000 per year for a prisoner to stay, and taxpayers are footing that bill. The way to reduce that $2.2 billion budget is actually to send less people to prison and get people out of the system through parole reforms. So right now we have 1,500 people approximately who are past their earliest release dates who could be released to the community, I think, safely because their high probability of parole on their parole guideline score sheets, not all of them, but most mm-hmm. of them, and we're keeping them past their earliest release date, so they could come back. So that's $37,000 here, $37,000 there, and that adds up. If we release people en masse, we could close prisons. You're not going to save money by just releasing 10 people here and 10 people there. We have to actually close prisons. And so any kinds of cuts, any kinds of cost savings that falls on the backs of inmates and prisoners, it doesn't make sense in the long term for big savings.
And we're going to get to some back and forth about that in a moment. But I want to get first the sense of how does all of this affect prisoners and, in turn, their families?
Prisoners come from marginalized communities often. They don't always have a lot of money. Their family members don't have a lot of money. And so they, I don't think, ever come back to the community set to go. Like, here's a nest egg. I have $1,000 even that I can go
get launched.
And, yes. Yeah. So we encourage people to save money, even though it's almost impossible to save money in prison. But we encourage people to think about, do I really need those ramen noodles from commissary? Should I save my money for this month? And so I have a nest egg of even $500 to go back home with. But when I start saying that to you, $500 or $1,000, that's nothing when you get back to the community. So I think that we have to work on pushing an ethic of work for folks that's actually compensated justly. And that would look like maybe $5 a day even in pay.
But then suddenly up go prison costs.
That's correct. But
so you know that isn't going to fly.
If we're reducing the number of people yes. inside, and there hasn't been a wage increase since the 90s, I believe that's when it was, then what in the world are we, you know, thinking about work ethic, about keeping people out?
Long-range planning.
Yes, long-range planning, all of it. That's we're very much, I think, setting up a cyclical system.
Well, Natalie, you know there are people listening and people out in throughout the state saying, look, these prisoners chose to commit the crime. Why should they get a free ride on the taxpayer's collective dime? If they break the law, they should be the ones to pay for it. How do you respond to that?
I think that isolation is the way that they're paying for the crime. They're separated from society. They're separated from their families.
But they chose to commit the crime.
Correct. And they're getting their punishment, and the punishment is being disconnected from everybody. It's bare bones in there. Television may show it that they can watch movies and there's weight pits and there's all this stuff to do and it is it's a free ride. It's not all that. It's a struggle daily. People tell me that their worst day outside is better than their best day inside. So it is in and of itself a punishment, and I don't think that people should be expected to pay for that punishment. Of course, people will argue with me. Mm-hmm. I also think that people have to understand that folks who don't have anything aren't going to be able to pay. So we have folks who are very much in poverty in this country. They're the people targeted by the criminal justice system in a lot of ways, and they end up in prison or in jail. And to pay for it, because we criminalize everything and have long lengths of stay, it is troubling. I realize people do harmful things in community. I realize there's violence in communities. Our crime rates are not up. They've stabilized. There are alternatives to sending people to jail and prison. We should look at those alternatives. And then we wouldn't have to have this conversation at all.
And I mean, do you feel there's any political will in this state to do that?
I think our governor is leaning on towards a criminal justice reform agenda that is hopeful for the first time in years. I think that there's presumptive parole bills on the table that would get people out at their earliest release date if they're high probability of parole. I think that there's a good thing with the Criminal Justice Policy Commission, and those folks are looking at the sentencing guidelines, and hopefully we will look at those minimum sentences and send people not to prison, divert them from prison, not get probation violators into prison as much as they end up in prison. And so there are some measures out there, and the governor's behind it, it seems. So I'm hopeful, and I'm never hopeful. I'm hopeful. I'm a little bit hopeful that we're moving in a better direction than we have.
Natalie Holbrooks with the American Friends Service Committee's Michigan Criminal Justice Program. Thanks so much for speaking with us, Natalie.
Thank you, Cynthia.